We talked first hour talking about my belief that America is Babylon of Revelation 18 and other passages as well. And the arguments I gave first hour, first of all, the first argument was that the last days are here and America is the only economic, technological, and military superpower that can fulfill the prophecy of Babylon in Revelation 18. Also, argument number two is that America is the only new nation. We looked back at Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 12, and saw that the daughter of Babylon prophesied there was to be the hindermost of nations, which means the last one to come up. It was a last time, it's an end time nation that would have global power. Al said maybe that word could mean like the least of all nations. No, because we see that it's Babylon the Great. It's the greatest nation on earth, not the least of all nations. It is the last of all nations to come up. And then point number three was that the international movement to create a global government is clearly, obviously, being spearheaded and funded by America. And so point number four then is that or evidence number four, is that America's institutions, her national symbols, her national monuments, are intentionally patterned after Egyptian and Roman deities, which then are also derived and descended from the Babylonian religion. That's point number four. I want you to turn, please, in your Bible to Zechariah chapter 5, second to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 5. The influence of the ancient mystery religions as preserved by the Illuminati and by the lodges of Freemasonry is undeniable in America's public buildings and monuments, especially in Washington, D.C. The Masonic design of Washington, D.C. and its obvious layout in pentagram form has been well documented in several sources that we've looked at. We looked especially in the Leonard Ulrich video a few weeks back on the New World Order that everyone needs to have a copy of. And I've got three copies at home. I meant to bring them. Does anybody have any copies of those I can hand out? Any extra copies of that New World Order video? Well, we need everyone to have one of those. Thank you. Jade's got a couple. Brother Bob needs one of those. Aside from the obvious Masonic symbology and influence in Washington, America's most famous national symbol stands in New York Harbor, raising her torch for the world to see, what we call the Statue of Liberty, Lady Liberty. That statue, I want to tell you, does not represent some form of embodiment or personification of the concept of freedom or liberty from tyranny or from oppression, as most tend to believe. And that world-famous statue standing in New York Harbor is one of the things that identifies that city as commercial Babylon, as it is, in fact, a statue of the ancient Babylonian goddess Ishtar. Some of the best documentation on this point was done by a man named R.A. Coombs. R.A. Coombs, who wrote a book titled America the Babylon, same title as this message. It's a good book. I had a copy of it years ago, and he wrote it in, I think, about the early 90s. I lost my copy of it. And he points out that Zechariah chapter 5, we're going to look at it, would indicate that the spirit of Babylon, that the spirit of this whore of Babylon, actually moved from its ancient location ultimately to what is now America. So we're going to read this passage, and I want to actually read some of Coombs' commentary on this passage, Zechariah chapter 5, where verse 1 says, "And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. Everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring forth, said the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. It shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes, and see what is this that goeth forth. I said, What is it? He said, This is the ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is the woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah. And he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then I lifted up my eyes, and I looked, and behold, there came out two women. And the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. And I said to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? Where are they taking the ephah? And he said unto me, to build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Like I said, I want to read to you a little bit from Coombe's commentary on this. He says, by the way, first of all, I want to just kind of give an introduction to R.A. Coombe. He said, when I started my research, I held to the identity theory taught by my professors from the Moody Bible Institute and Calvary Bible College in Kansas City, Missouri, namely that the RCC, or the Roman Catholic Church, was the woman in Revelation 17, and Rome was the identity of the commercial entity of Revelation 18. Those were the standard theories in the 1970s. When I began my specialized study on the subject in 1987, you couldn't drag me to the conclusion that the U.S. was Mystery Babylon. It took 5 to 6 years of research before I began to accept otherwise, and not until 1995 was I convinced, after being dragged, screaming and kicking by the weight of the textual and empirical data, that America was Mystery Babylon. I stubbornly refused to accept the idea that America was Mystery Babylon, partly out of misguided patriotism, and I suspect also pride that I had been duped for years about the true reality of America's history. I still wish I were wrong, and I still maintain a challenge to anyone to prove me wrong. Many have tried, all have failed, and failed miserably, just as I failed, in my quest to disprove the notion that America is Babylon, a biblical prophecy. So then he goes on in his commentary about Zechariah. He says this. Some ancient rabbinical commentaries on Zechariah were written about 300 B.C., citing rabbis who were assistants to Zechariah, who stated that the prophet Zechariah had taught them that the woman of Zechariah 5 was the fallen angelic entity who was the guardian spirit, or the angel of Babylon, and that this spirit moved westwards out of ancient Babylon and would be relocated the end of days, for the end of days, in a place beyond the Nile River in the Great Sea. By the time of Jesus, rabbinical thinking was that Zechariah's vision of the woman pointed to her having moved on to Rome. In point of fact, the Ishtar religion's home base kept moving slowly westward. The religion's main base moved from Babylon to Assyria and into northern Syria in particular, where she was known as Ashtoreth, and also by that same name in Lebanon and Israel. Later, the Ishtar religion was picked up by the Egyptians. The original native Egyptians called her Ishi or Ishti. The Greeks found out about her and referred to her Egyptian version as Isis, because in Greek the spelling ends in a silent S, wherein the final S is not pronounced, but still retains the S in the spelling for grammatical reasons. And so the Greeks later adopted her religious doctrines from the Assyrians, Phoenicians, and Cretes as Astarte. Here again, there's no SH sound in the Greek alphabet. The Astarte vision virtually contained pure dogmas of the original Ishtar, whereas the Egyptians added subsequent mythologies about her. Generations later in Greek culture, her name was changed to Aphrodite. Then the Ishtar doctrines were broken up into various goddess names for her individual character traits, one of which was the doctrine of liberty or freedom. Another was justice, and another was war. The Rome was initially picked up on her dogma via the Greeks, and the first one they adopted was the goddess of freedom or liberty. And they called her the Libertas, the Libertas, around 600 B.C. But by 400 B.C., they adopted other dogmas and incorporated much of her other mystery doctrines back into a single goddess known as Venus, or the goddess of love. Enter on the scene the Freemasons. Now, the early version of Ishtar in Rome, Libertas, becomes extremely critical to the Mystery Babylon prophecy because the Freemasons picked up on this aspect and used it as a political rallying cry in the mid to late 1700s, just in time for the American Revolution. American Freemasons like Ben Franklin, Paul Revere, Thomas Jefferson initially picked up on Libertas and placed her image on early U.S. coinage. Later, by the 1850s, she became part of the concept for topping the U.S. Capitol building dome, with a statue of her, initially to be called the Statue of the Goddess of Liberty, a.k.a. Libertas, Goddess of Rome. However, Jefferson Davis, before he became president of the Confederacy, objected on behalf of slaveholders, fearing the name would incite the slaves to rebellion. So it was changed to the Goddess of Freedom. By the way, she still stands up there on top of the Capitol. The statue was slightly altered from a Libertas freedom cap to a modified Indian headdress. However, it still retained Ishtar's star symbols. In this rendering, she was more of a woman warrior with a sword by her side. Ishtar was not only a goddess of love, but also a goddess of war. The Capitol building itself had been designed and named as the Temple of Libertas, or Temple of Liberty, a temple to the Roman goddess of liberty. Again, because among the many titles of Ishtar was her title as goddess of liberty, freedom. She was also the goddess of immigrants. However, her chief title was the name Mother of the Harlots, a term of great holiness in her dogmas. Notwithstanding, the Mother of the Harlots deals with issues of salvation and the removal of sins by engaging in intercourse between the temple priestesses and worshipers for the removal of sins. That's where the Vestal Virgins come from and all that. And that's what was involved in their temple worship, necessary as part of their worship and their religion. After their holy engagements, an offering of gold or silver coins was placed in the temple collection box. Hence, the concept of money and prostitution was first invented by the Ishtar religion. You could say the whole concept was one of salvation by sex. Then we come to the Capitol building itself. Standing guard at the entrance to the U.S. Capitol building is a statue of the Greek god Mars. According to the U.S. Library of Congress and the Office of the Architect of the Capitol, the Greeks borrowed the god Mars and their religious dogmas from the Babylonians. In Babylon, he was called by various language dialects Marduk, Marduk, Merodach, and in the Aramaic, he was Baal. His Hebrew title was Baal. So we have a statue of Baal guarding the entrance to the Capitol up on the portico, in the porch there. So in reality, Baal stands guard at the U.S. Capitol entrance. The entire concept of the U.S. Capitol building was borrowed from Rome's pagan temple dedicated to all the gods of Rome called the Pantheon, which I know from studying architecture, and Thomas Jefferson was enamored with the Pantheon. In fact, we've been to Monticello, his home up in Virginia. He patterned his home. He actually remodeled his home and built a dome over it, patterned after the Pantheon of Rome. So after the Civil War, the Statue of Liberty project came into being, again urged on by the Freemasons. The sculptor was a high-level Freemason who designed his statue to be his mind's-eye rendering of the goddess Libertas of Rome. He even wrote in his diary and journal notes the effect that she was going to be in color, that her robes would be scarlet and purple. She would be decked with jewels, akin to what's found in Revelation 17:4. However, upon further consideration, weather, etc., these illustrious features were dropped from the plan, hence the statue would be just a patina of copper. Notwithstanding, her seven-spiked crown is a dead giveaway to her Babylonian connection to Ishtar. For Ishtar was adorned with a crown of seven spikes. Indeed, one of Ishtar's mystery doctrines was that each spike in her crown reflected the occult enlightenment of her brother, the sun god Utu. Upon each of the seven hora, or continents, and the seven seas of the world. If you visit a certain U.S. National Park Service webpage on the Statue of Liberty, you'll find this application describing the meaning of the seven spikes of her crown. Again, part of the Masonic secret dogma surrounding their worship of Libertas or Ishtar is found in their secret ceremonies at the upper levels beyond the 33rd degree. Her pedestal retains a symbol of another symbol of Ishtar, the star-shaped base. And he says, I've only scratched the surface here, but this explains to you a little bit about, you know, the basis and the history of the Statue of Liberty, and it's completely a Masonic symbol having to do with the Babylonian goddess Ishtar, not just some personification of the concept of liberty. It's a goddess, this harlot that sits upon many waters being represented by the seven horns, the seven seas of the world. So there's more here I could go into, and that's enough of that. But that's what Coombs says. These four arguments explain why I believe America is Babylon, and therefore I'm going to let that be the conclusion of my thesis here. America, I believe, is the final Babylon. Furthermore, turn back to Revelation 18. I believe part of this prophecy has already been fulfilled in Revelation 18. Revelation 18. I believe the first three verses have already been fulfilled because America has already fallen. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was enlightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. I do believe these verses have already been fulfilled. America has already fallen. We talked about Christian America. America the beautiful, on whom God shed his grace, has fallen. And as it says here, and has become the habitation of devils. It didn't used to be, but it has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And has become America the Babylon. What does this mean for America? We'll talk about that. What does this mean for America? America is already, I believe, the last day's economic and military power that drives the New World Order and from which the UN is headquartered already. America is now spearheading the New World Order and will be, I believe, the power base for the coming Antichrist. I do believe that the Antichrist will come to power through the office of the presidency of the United States. I do believe that. I believe he'll be very well informed about American and world history and global politics. I believe that he will know very well what the Bible says, just as does his father, the devil. By the way, I believe he will speak plain English with eloquence. I believe he will come in peaceably, but he will not leave peacefully. He probably will be elected into office, I believe. But then I believe during his term, the Constitution and free elections will finally be suspended, martial law will be declared, and this man will become an absolute dictator who will have control over the world's most powerful military and the world's most powerful economy. I have news for you. We are almost at that stage right now. We're almost there. All it will take for us to get there is the creation of one more false flag Reichstag event, one more 9/11, but on a larger scale, and the deed will be done. And then this man of sin will be literally possessed by the devil, will magnify himself above the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will make war with the saints to overcome them. That's what I believe. As, by the way, he has already been authorized to do in several pieces of wicked legislation passed by our treasonous Congress, like the Patriot Acts, the National Defense Authorization Act of 2012, and the so-called Obamacare, the summation of which amounts to a declaration of war against the American people. All of which, by the way, were passed into law by a treacherous Congress filled with treasonous traitors who sold out and betrayed the Constitution and the people, by the way, who voted them into office, just like the Roman Senate did in the days of the Caesars. What this means, I believe, for America is that America has already fallen. And I believe in one day in the not-too-distant future will be judged. We read Revelation 18. I'm not going to read it again. We read about the judgment upon Babylon. What does this mean for us? You can go back and study that chapter. What does this mean for us? For God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians who find ourselves dwelling in the midst of Babylon, which is where we are. What should we do with this information? I refer you to Revelation 18, verse 4, where it says, And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. I do believe that call is going out to God's people living in America today. Not necessarily secession, not necessarily to move geographically out of America altogether, although that might be a good idea. But for those of us that cannot afford right now to move out of America, pull up stakes and move out of the country, there are many ways that we can come out of Babylon right now. I discussed a little bit last week. First of all, we can come out of Babylon politically. We can come out of Babylon politically. We need to, as Americans, American Christians, repent of what I would say is American pride and false patriotism. Like I said last time, we need to pledge allegiance to King Jesus, not to any flag. Amen. Well, I'm proud to be an American. Well, at least I know I'm free. We all know that song. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. Perhaps we could sing that song 100 years ago. But those days were long gone, long before that song was ever written. That stupid song was ever written. You know, you'd have to be a complete ignoramus to believe there is still freedom in America today. You have to be an ignorant moron to think that you're free living in America today. Free-range cattle. That's right, I like that. I've quoted from before a poem by Thelon Pollock wrote in 1986. I'm going to quote just an excerpt from that poem again today. If you think you're free, listen to this. He says, "Your freedom gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, I would add what used to be, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel, permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no choice in choosing how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate. Your moral values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a controlled and biased press. You pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver or of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God to shame. You've taken Satan's number as you've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they can padlock churches and steal the family farm. They keep our country deep in debt, put men of God in jail, harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oath they've sworn. Your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders ship artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter, fighting other people's wars." That was 1986. We've gone a long way downhill since then. I've got news for you today. I am not proud to be an American. I'm not proud to be an American. In fact, thanks to George Bush and Hussein Obama, I am ashamed to be an American today. The American military has been used by the money powers that control the White House, which in turn controls the military, to maim, torture, and mass murder hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians in Iraq and Afghanistan to support their drug trade and to prop up the American dollar by controlling the flow of oil. I am ashamed to be an American today, and I will not pledge allegiance to the flag under whose colors those deeds were done. I will not pledge allegiance to that flag. I haven't for years. I certainly won't now. I taught my kids not to pledge allegiance to that flag. As I stated before, the Christian founding fathers of America, and many of them were Christian, born-again Christians. They weren't all deists. They would roll over in their graves to know that the American people pledge allegiance to that flag. In essence, pledging blind allegiance to the state. By the way, except for the phrase "under God" that was added to that pledge in the 1950s, the Pledge of Allegiance was written in the 1890s by a socialist and godless evolutionist named Edward Bellamy. John Dewey, the great 1930s advocate of public schooling, government schooling, and a socialist himself who was fond of Russian communism, took many of his ideas, socialist ideas, for education and indoctrination from Edward Bellamy. He called Edward Bellamy the great American prophet. And he said this of Edward Bellamy: "What Uncle Tom's Cabin was to the anti-slavery movement, Bellamy's book may well be to the shaping of popular opinion for a new social order." This is the author of the Pledge of Allegiance, a socialist. There is something that all Americans, whether Christian or not, need to understand, and you need to get this. It is a good thing for a politician to pledge an oath to the Constitution. It is a bad thing to pledge allegiance to the flag, to the republic, or to the state. It is the Constitution that protects the people's rights, not the flag nor the republic. The Constitution created the republic and was founded on the principle that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. If the Constitution is ignored, then both the republic and our rights are lost. Support for the flag or for the republic that does not include fidelity to the Constitution leads to statism. Statism. To state-issued privileges rather than God-given rights. And that's exactly where we are today. The republic is lost. Babylon is fallen. And I've got more bad news for so-called conservative Christians today who think we can take America back. The money powers that control Washington, D.C. also control the press and the ballot box. And they will never allow a constitutionalist into the White House again. There was a good man in that office named John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who saw the light after he came into the office and had the courage to turn on and stand up to the money powers that probably put him there. They didn't let him live very long. There is no political solution to America's fall. There is no political solution. The only hope for America is for Christ to return and to create new heavens and a new earth. For Christians living in modern-day Babylon, we must remember that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That word conversation in that verse is the word polytuma. It's the only place in the New Testament that word is used. Polytuma, from which we get our word politics. The word means political affiliation. It means citizenship. He's saying our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1. The same Apostle Paul says, "Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You've been born again. You have been translated into His kingdom. You are now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You are no longer a citizen of this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul says. And we're to be heavenly minded. We've got a new law now. This is my law book now. Amen. God's Word is my law. Jesus Christ is my King. Obama is not my leader. And I'm not going to follow him. The Lord Jesus Christ is my King. And I pledge allegiance to him. As the Founding Father said, we'll have no king but King Jesus. Amen. And as they said in the book of Acts, "These all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus." We will not say Caesar is Lord. We say Jesus is Lord. Our citizenship is in heaven. We need to come out of Babylon politically. We need to realize that this is our law book. We need to come out of Babylon spiritually as well. Spiritually. We need to be on guard against Babylonian influences in our culture. By the way, that includes celebration of Babylonian holidays, like Easter and other pagan holiday practices. We need to come out of Babylon. We need to come out of Babylon economically. There is no doubt in my mind that the Social Security number is a precursor to the mark of the beast. There's no doubt in my mind. That was the driving belief that caused me to decide in 1992 to resist this wicked income tax, to resist slavery, the slavery of the income tax. And there is no doubt in my mind that one day soon, everyone in this room will soon have no choice but to take the same stand. We're going to have to learn how to function outside this wicked banking system. Yeah. We're going to have to learn that. We're going to have to establish barter systems. We're going to have to establish arm's length relationships with trustworthy pagans, if you can find any, to barter with. We're going to have to learn to function outside this system. Amen. We've got to come out of Babylon economically. We've got, I think we should maybe consider getting out geographically if we can, at least getting away from large metro areas, definitely, because when the judgment of God comes down, I mean, I don't want to be anywhere near any metropolitan area. We need to be wise. We need to seek the Lord for deliverance. Turn, please, back to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah in the Old Testament, fourth book from the end, fourth book in from Malachi, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Zephaniah, chapter 2. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree, bring forth. Before the day pass as the chaff. Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord. All ye meek of the earth. That's supposed to be us, isn't it? Jesus said, for the meek will inherit the earth, didn't he? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Seek the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Seek meekness. It may well be the Lord will hide you. He'll take care of us. He'll protect us. That's what I'm hoping for. God's faithful. He's always been faithful to me. Always been faithful to us. Amen, Mary? He's faithful. He won't let anything come my way, any harm, any judgment, that he hasn't, for some good reason, allowed. And he's faithful. May well be that he'll hide us. Amen. Seek meekness. That's what we need to do. We need to stay in church. You need to become a soul winner. We are living in Babylon. Think of yourself as Daniel or as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego living in the midst of Babylon. That's where we are. We're God's people living in Babylon. We need to come out and be separate, saith the Lord. Amen. Stay in church. Become a soul winner. Win souls because the days are short. Turn over to the left. I'm going to close with Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. We're living in Babylon. We need to get out and stay out. We need to learn how to function outside this evil system. Daniel chapter 12. Start reading in verse 1. At that time, at what time? The time of the end, when Antichrist is in power, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. That's the time Jesus warned about, great tribulation. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for deliverance in these days. Amen? I've got a bright future. This isn't doom and gloom for me. It's doom and gloom for Babylon, but not for me, not for you. Amen? And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now here's where I want to be. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You know the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness. Turn people to righteousness. Turn people to Christ. Be a soul winner. Amen? Come out of Babylon. Stay in church. Be a soul winner. And let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you for the revelation of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the things you've shown us.